May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. 385.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the book of Psalms, reading Psalm 15 and Psalm 24. Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbour, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbour, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoureth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. May the Lord bless a portion of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come, we are a company of poor sinners, the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. And we would indeed seek to humble ourselves before thee as sinners. We read in thy word, he putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there might be hope. And Lord, we would indeed bow before thee and confess our sins and our sinfulness, our wanderings and our backslidings. We leave undone things that we should do, and we do things that we should not do. And we find a law, O Lord God, in our members, that when I would do good, then evil is present with me. Great God, we come to confess these things before thee. I am all unrighteousness. O thou great God, we do pray that thou wouldst look upon the face of thine anointed, even Jesus Christ, as we come and bow before thee and worship thee this night in the sanctuary. For Lord, we cannot come in our own name. It is all as filthy rags. We have no righteousness of our own, but we come to thee in that precious name, the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wouldst grant unto us by thy spirit and grace a humble and a teachable spirit, that thou wouldst deliver us, O Lord, from the power and dominion of sin and of all unrighteousness. And though, Lord, we have nothing to be proud of, and yet we have a very proud heart, a proud and a corrupt nature, O thou great God, we pray that thou wouldst come and truly humble us before thee, even this night, that we may be found looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Oh, we do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst feed our souls with that living bread that cometh down from heaven, even at this evening hour. Do grant that there may be a portion for 7, and yea, for 8 also. A portion for our soul. Show me a token, Lord, for good. We do beseech thee. A token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above. O thou great God, do hear our prayers, hear our entreaties. We do humbly beseech thee. Lord, we're not able to set our affections on things above. We would, O Lord, if we could. But we find that often our thoughts wander. They wander hither and thither to this and that. And sinful thoughts, corrupt thoughts, unclean thoughts, unrighteous thoughts. Oh, thou great God, do come and do grant by thy Spirit and grace that spirit of faith and exercise in our hearts, that our affections may be set upon Jesus Christ, upon the glory of his person, the wonder of his grace, the fullness of salvation that is in him. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst lead us continually unto him. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrims in this barren land. We pray thy rich blessing upon this church and this congregation, that thou wouldst work mightily, powerfully and effectually among them, that thou wouldst lead them, guide them and direct them. We remember our beloved brethren, the deacons, and lovingly commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up. And pray that they may be enabled to fulfill their office well. For he that fulfilleth the office of a deacon well shall purchase to himself a good degree and much confidence in the faith. Lord, enable our brethren so to do. We do humbly beseech of thee. Grant us, O Lord, the spirit and mind of Christ. Grant thy rich blessing to rest upon each of thy servants as they come in and out among this people, that they may be led into the truth and richly blessed as they declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there may be those mighty signs and wonders that shall follow the preaching of the word. And oh, we earnestly petition thee, O Lord, that thou wouldst grant this people a living, settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. Lord, do grant them this great blessing. We do humbly beseech thee and exercise their hearts in it. We do pray thee and grant them, O Lord, to see the desirability of it. We do beseech thee. We seek thy rich blessing, O Lord God, to rest upon the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary. And we pray thy rich blessing that it may rest upon the children, the young people. Thou knowest their needs, their concerns. And that we pray that thou wouldst bless them with those rich spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ, and impress upon their hearts and their minds that one thing is needful. Guide them and direct them in all life's journey, regarding their education, regarding their employment. Help them to commit all things into thy kind and gracious hands. And those that would be seeking a partner in life's journey, may they be led and taught and guided and directed unto thee, to call upon thy great and holy name in these matters, we do beseech thee. We pray for parents as they seek to bring up their children, that they may bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We pray for those expecting children, that they may be safely delivered of a living child with all its faculties at the appointed time. We seek, O Lord, thy blessing upon each one in the midst of the journey of life, bearing the heat and the burden of the day, that thy divine support and blessing and help may be given. We do beseech thee. And that we pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst defend us from the work and power of the enemy. For Lord, we have a very cunning, a very subtle foe, and we have not the wisdom to stand against him. Help us to look to the great captain of our salvation. Grant that we may be clothed upon with the whole armour of God, and that we may be enabled to stand, and having done all things to stand. Help us to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Lord, we pray for grace to do so. We are poor and weak and needy. Make us more spiritually minded. Set our affections on things above. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. Remember those, O Lord, in old age and its attendant infirmities and much weakness, and any unable now to gather. Lord, we commend each one to thee and pray thy richest blessing upon them. Remember all in affliction, in sorrow, in sadness, in bereavement, in perplexity. Oh, that those in darkness may be brought into light, those in bondage may be brought into liberty, those far off may be made nigh. So let thy work appear, and let thy power be known and felt and realized among this church and this congregation. Unite them together in the sacred unity of the faith, in the bond of peace in Jesus Christ. Help them to speak to one another and fulfill that word that we read of. And what a means of grace, O Lord, it has been to thy people. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance was written. And that we do pray for those that think upon thy name. We pray, most gracious Lord, thy richest blessing upon all thy labouring servants as they labour in word and doctrine today. And we pray that thou wouldst give needed grace, wisdom and help unto them. And we pray thee, yea, beseech thee, thou great Lord of the harvest, that thou wouldst send true labourers into the harvest, that thou wouldst build the walls of Jerusalem, that thou wouldest make bare thine holy arm. May the light and glory and power of gospel truth shine into this village of Swavesey and the surrounding villages and hamlets. And may precious souls be gathered in. And may this little house of prayer be filled with hungry, longing souls pressing into the kingdom of heaven. And may prodigals return, and thy mighty grace be seen in this. And may we be given hearts to receive them. O Lord, we do beseech thee. Seek thy rich blessing, that it may rest upon thy Zion throughout the nations of the earth, that the glory and light of gospel truth may shine forth, and the strongholds of Satan may be pulled down, and the kingdom of Jesus Christ set up in the hearts of sinners. Oh, we pray, most gracious Lord, that we may be faithful witnesses, that it may be seen that we have been with Jesus, and that we may have the spirit and mind of Christ, and be kind and loving and compassionate one toward another. Thou hast said in thy word, by this shall they know that ye are my disciples, because ye have love one to another. Oh, do grant us that spirit of love, of union and communion. We do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy look upon our nation, that thou wouldst turn back the tides of iniquity. Remember our Queen, who has brought her O Lord, through 60 years reigning in this kingdom, and that we pray that the goodness of God may lead her to repentance, and her consort also, and that she may be blessed of thee and the royal house. Our political leaders, give them wisdom and understanding. Raise up in our parliament, in our judiciary, in our civil service, men of God, men of wisdom, men of integrity, men of uprightness. Lord, guide the state, we do beseech thee. We thank thee that thou art God over all and blessed for evermore. We thank thee that there is nothing too hard for thee. We thank thee for all the mercies of thy kind providence. Truly, Lord, thou art new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We thank thee for our house of prayer. We thank thee for the liberties that we have to freely meet together around thy word. Oh, may we account them, O Lord, as great privileges granted to us of thee, and may we be bettered by them. We thank thee above all for the wonderful glory of Jesus Christ, the fullness of redeeming love in him. We thank thee for his holy, sinless life, everlasting righteousness brought in. We bless thee for the sacred, holy sacrifice of the cross of Calvary, where sin has been put away, where divine justice has been satisfied, where the precious blood of the Saviour has been shed. A new and living way is made. That Saviour that died, but died to rise again, who has swallowed up death in victory, who rose again for our justification, who now sitteth at the right hand of the Majesty on high, who has said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. O thou great God, we render thanksgiving and praise unto thee for those wonderful mercies that flow to us through Jesus' precious blood. We thank thee, O Lord, that we do know and we do sweetly experience the love of our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank thee for the sacred and precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what sacred blessings are in that eternal covenant. Oh, most gracious Lord, look down upon us now. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. Come and speak to our very souls. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 763. Alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? 763.
seeking the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 24, and we will read for our text, verse 8. Psalm 24, verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Really, for brevity, I've read the text, but it's the whole psalm that has really rested upon my spirit to speak from. Speaks in this psalm of divine sovereignty. It speaks in this psalm of the eternal power, the infinite power of Almighty God. It speaks in this psalm of the divine right of Almighty God to rule this earth and all that are upon it. As the psalm opens, the earth is the Lord's, divine sovereignty. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. As we read in the Word of God, that we are the offspring of God, that He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. As we read in the commencement of Holy Scripture, in the book of Genesis, as the scriptures open, it speaks there, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. The mighty power of God in creation. My mind, it just goes to those beautiful words in the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation. And it speaks there of the glory. John has a vision of the glory of God as being the sovereign ruler of all things. And when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you see, just as we have here in Psalm 24, also we've read similar things in Psalm 15, God is God over all, and blessed forevermore. And they sing this song in heaven above, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it. He made this earth. He made the world out of nothing. As we read in Psalm 33, He spake and it was done. It was the voice of Almighty God that brought this world into existence. He spake. You see, where the word of a king is, there is power. And when God spoke, something was done immediately. He didn't have to put forth His hands to anything. He spake. And it was done. That almighty power of God in the creation of the world. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. You see, the mighty power of God in creation. He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood. as we read in the creation of the world, in the book of Genesis, how the dry land appeared. And that's the way God caused it to appear. And how that he created the fishes of the sea, the beasts of the field, how he put the herbs and the trees upon the earth. God spake, and it was done. It was a divine act of Almighty God to accomplish these things. You know, that is very beautiful when the psalmist, he meditates on this divine act of creation. And he speaks in Psalm 33, and of singing unto the Lord a new song. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. And then he says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. You know, God spake, and the waters of Jordan divided for the children of Israel to go into the promised land. God spake, and the Red Sea divided, and the children of Israel went over as on dry land. You see, this mighty word of Almighty God. When God speaks, something is done. The Lord looketh from heaven. This is Psalm 33. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. God looks down. He beholdeth. He humbleth himself to behold the things that are upon the earth. God does. And this God, he sees all things. And this God, he knows all things. You think of, just think for a moment, of the millions and millions of people that there are upon this earth. And yet the thoughts of every one of them is known to God. Absolutely and completely. There's nothing hid from Almighty God. And he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. This glorious God. You know, the apostle Paul, as he writes his epistle, he speaks of it in the Romans 2, but my mind, it just goes to the epistle to the Colossians, and he's speaking of the glory of God in Christ. And he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, who, Jesus Christ, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, that is by Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. The apostle, he says elsewhere in the Romans, I think it is, the powers that be are ordained of God. And just remember, in the days when the apostle was writing that, they were heathen powers. They were heathen powers. But he said, the powers that be are ordained of God. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In Holy Scripture, the divine act of creation is attributed separately in different places to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. These three are one, one infinite, almighty, and eternal Lord Jehovah, the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. It is he that has made us. How man, he likes to say today, probably the majority of men, well, of course, we are our own masters, and we're masters of our own destiny, and we do not hold allegiance to any. Well, whatever man likes to say. You see, the people imagine a vain thing. Whatever man likes to say, whatever man likes to believe, it does not alter the reality and the truth that God is God over all, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we have this question, who is this King of Glory? Who is this King of Glory? It is none other than King Jesus, who hath a name written upon his thigh, upon his vesture, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He goes on here, the sweet psalmist of Israel, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? You see, what a question. There's a lot of questions here, isn't there? Is there somebody come to chapel tonight and you've got a lot of questions to ask? And there's some here before us in the word of God. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall ascend into heaven, into the presence of Almighty God, into his eternal dwelling place? Who shall ascend? Well, then we have a description that is given to us. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Can you say that, sinner? Can you say that? That you've got clean hands and a clean heart? That you're able to stand in the presence of the pure, holy, holy, holy God of heaven? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does it mean, empty? Really, at the root of the word vanity, if you want to explain the meaning of it, it really means it's like a shadow. You can see a tree or a building and the sun is shining and there's a shadow beside it. On the opposite side to the sun is a shadow of the building. It looks as though there's something there. It looks to be something of substance, but when you get there, there's nothing. It's a shadow. There's nothing there. That really, essentially, is the meaning of the word vanity. It's nothing. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity, saith the preacher. He that hath clean hands. Do you have clean hands? If you think you have clean hands, I'd like to say that you're awfully deceived. I'd like to say it because it's the truth. He that saith he hath no sin deceiveth himself. Deceiveth himself. Sinner, you cannot stand in the presence of Almighty God. You're born in sin, you're shapen in iniquity. You're unclean in every part. You're unrighteous in every thought. That's your condition that you're born in. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. In sin did our mothers conceive us. Since Adam by transgression fell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in increased and filled the world with sin. That's you, sinner. You might say, you're not painting a very good picture of human nature and what men and women are. I tell you what, I can't paint it dark enough. Words would fail to speak of the deplorable condition that every single one of us is born in by nature. A condition that alienates us from Almighty God. Separates us from Almighty God. God hates sin. God abhors sin. God is pure and holy and righteous altogether. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Who is it describing? Who is it speaking of? Jesus Christ. That's who it's speaking of. It's speaking of the holy God-man. You know, sometimes we see in our chapels a plaque up to a godly minister. And often they put on that plaque, and I have to confess, I feel exceedingly uncomfortable about it. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. There's only one man like that, my beloved friends. And it's never even the most godly minister. It's none other than the glorious person of Jesus Christ. That's who it's describing and speaking of there. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The end of Jesus Christ, the perfect man, the spotless man, the pure man, the righteous man. He that did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the holy God-man, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I'm sure that it didn't miss your attention that what we read together in Psalm 15 really bears out exactly what we have here. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell? These questions, you see. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You see, not only is this person described outwardly clean and pure and holy, he is inwardly clean and pure and holy. There's only one man that fits that description, my beloved friends. That's the man Christ Jesus. Pure and holy and righteous altogether. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Sometimes we can speak, but we dissemble in our hearts. We do. Sometimes we can speak to somebody and we speak nice words to them, but inwardly we're thinking something else. That's deceit. That's deceit. But that's where you are, sinner. You're born in sin. You have a deceitful heart. The heart of man is deceitful above all things. I tell you, my beloved friends, this is one of the things that is a deep grief to every living child of God. The fact that they have a corrupt, sinful, deceitful heart. It grieves them. It does indeed. But it's still there. Do you have to mourn like the apostle? I find a law within my members that when I would do good, then evil is present with me. Oh, I've got this. If only I didn't have this wretched, wicked, sinful, corrupt heart, full of deceit. You know that. And the scriptures never exaggerate. There is nothing on earth more deceitful than your and my heart. There isn't. Scriptures do not exaggerate. The heart of man is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. What a solemn thought, isn't it? He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbour, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbour, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, he that honoureth them that fear the Lord. You see, this is speaking of a most godly, most gracious. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. Who shall ascend? He hath ascended up on high. He hath led captivity captive. He hath received gifts for man. And there's a beautiful word that is added there in the Psalm 68. Yea, for the rebellious also, Jesus Christ. We read of our Lord Jesus Christ when he'd lived that perfect, holy, sinless life here on earth. When he'd offered that perfect, holy, sinless sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. When he had entered into death, and mark my words, he entered into death. It was a voluntary act of the Son of God to enter into death. No man taketh my life from me. I have power. Oh, my beloved friends, that death of Jesus Christ was a powerful death. It was an almighty death. It was the death of deaths. Because he entered into death so that he might swallow up death in victory, so that he might rise again from the dead. Because I live, ye shall live also. He's speaking here to his church and his people. He was doing this. We spoke of it this morning. He was doing it for his people. He lived for his people. He suffered for his people. He died for his people. He rose again for his people. And is now ascended into heaven for his people. And he now sitteth at the right hand of the majesty on high. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. This great Lord Jesus. There's none greater. None greater than Jesus Christ, the Creator who came to this earth. The mighty God. We read that beautiful word of prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 concerning Jesus Christ, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus Christ is. It's only Almighty God that could accomplish the work of salvation. It's only Almighty God that could redeem his people. It was only Almighty God that could fulfill that holy, righteous law. Almighty God manifest in the flesh. That's who Jesus Christ is. You see, it says here, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. He sitteth. This glorious. What? Why is it? I think you'll find there's only two occasions in Holy Scripture when the Lord Jesus is portrayed after his ascension as standing. When Stephen was martyred, he saw the Lord Jesus standing in heaven. And in the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation, John had a vision of a lamb standing in the midst of the throne. That's Christ. A lamb as it had been slain, standing in the midst of the throne. Every other reference I think you will find to Jesus Christ after his ascension, he's sitting. Now why? Because he rests from his labours. His work is done. It's finished. It's accomplished. That's why. He rests. He's waiting to see if the travail of his soul gathered in. That's what he's resting. He's an advocate. This is the wonderful truth of what we have in this psalm. It's the ascended Saviour sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, who is this King of glory? What did he say? Just as he was about to ascend into heaven. We read in Luke that he led them out as far as unto Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. But in Matthew we read, we are given a little of what that blessing was. What did he say to them? All power. Think of it. All power. Not some. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? It's the Lord Christ. You know, there are several references here in the book of Psalms to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 47, we read, and this is speaking of the ascension of Jesus Christ, God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. God. Then, of course, there's that beautiful, it doesn't so much speak of his ascension, but it speaks of the glorious sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 2, where it speaks there of the heathen. He says, why do the heathen... And we may look around today and we see the growth of the Muslim religion and the Hindu religion and the Buddhist religion. We see it within our own nation, which used to be principally a Christian nation. And we see the growth of all these religions. And we see the expansion of the spirit of Antichrist in the so-called progressive and liberal people of our day. And yet they're just about the most illiberal people there are. They are. As soon as you stand up and say that you believe something different, then you're accounted as the worst person that there is on the earth. Because, man, you've got to believe in our liberal and our progressive ways. What is progressive about the slaughter of millions of infants in the womb of their mother? And that's what is called progress. What is progressive about the immorality and unrighteousness that runs down our streets and seeking to be legislated in our parliament? And yet this is called progressive. It's regressive. It's against God. And this is exactly what the psalmist says. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And that's exactly what they're doing today. When we hear Professor Dawkins and his ilk, and they come and tell us that there is no God and that this world has evolved and that we people in science, we know these things. And therefore we must ban the teaching of the word of God and of creation, etc. Why do the people rage and the people imagine a vain thing? It's a vain thing that they imagine. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. That's Jesus Christ saying, let us break their bands asunder. Why, we see it more today than ever. Let us break their bands asunder. We want nothing to do with your Bible. We want nothing to do with your God. We want nothing to do with your holy laws. Let them break their bands asunder. That's man by nature. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. My beloved friends, remember this. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. But then what does it say? It speaks of an unalterable and a great truth. Yet, it's God that is speaking. In spite of all that the heathen are saying, in spite of all that the wicked men are saying on earth today, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Nothing can alter that. Nothing can change that. He sitteth King forever, sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. It's Jesus Christ, the great King and head of the church, the very Lord of the universe, who has all power given unto him in heaven and in earth. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I understand that the correct and proper meaning of the word king is one of supreme power. That's the meaning of the word, one of supreme power. Hence, Jesus Christ is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the one of supreme power, you see. He controls all things. He knows all things. The people imagine a vain thing and think they control all things. And they know all things, but Jesus does. And whatever man likes to say, Jesus is in control. And when you're troubled and perplexed about the things that are going on in this earth, just remember this. It's written for our instruction. Jesus is in control. Jesus sits upon the throne. He sits on no precarious throne, nor borrows leave to be. Who is this King of glory? I've often felt that the watchword of the book of the Revelation, and you will remember that the book of the Revelation covers the period of time from the first coming to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And really, the watchword of that book is found in chapter 19 and verse 6. Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And there throughout the book of the Revelation, we see the powers of Antichrist raging against the church of God again and again. We see the powers of Satan raging against the church of God. It speaks of the false prophet, false religion raging against the church of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be surprised at these things. It's prophesied and taught us in Holy Scripture that these things will happen. And as the world comes closer and closer to the end of time, these wicked men shall wax worse and worse. Perilous times shall come. We're told in Holy Scripture that these things will be so. And yet it does not one iota alter this truth, this glorious foundation of the Christian church. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We're told in Revelation chapter 16 of the battle of Armageddon. And it says that all the forces of Antichrist and of Satan will be gathered against the holy city. What, remember, it's highly symbolic language. What is being taught there? I do not believe for a moment it's speaking of the geographical Jerusalem. It's speaking of the church of Jesus Christ on earth. And all the powers of Antichrist will be against it, and they will surround it. Now, they think that they're going to destroy it. But the Lord tells us very clearly that he has gathered them together to destroy them. And they will be destroyed with the power of his mouth. He will utterly destroy them and take them away. That is why he's gathering them together. You see, the Lord is gathering together. It's his mighty work. See, nothing happens, my beloved friends, on this earth without the God of heaven knowing it. He worketh all things according to the pleasure of his will. You know, and my mind often goes to that. Just think of the children of Israel in the land of Babylon and surrounded. In fact, they were in a heathen land, a most despotic king. And yet the God of heaven, he's taught that king Nebuchadnezzar, he taught him some very deep things. This is the last that we read of Nebuchadnezzar. Some people have said that he wasn't a godly man. Be careful what you say. Just listen to what is read here. We know that during his life he was a most despotic king, but then the Lord humbled him. Listen to what Nebuchadnezzar says. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? at the same time my reason returned unto me. See what he saw? He saw the divine sovereignty of the Lord God of Israel. The earth is the Lord. He saw it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Who is this King of glory? There's a beautiful word in the book of the Revelation. We give thee thanks. This is the elders in heaven. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, for thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. We give thee thanks. Where do we see that? In Jesus Christ. In the incarnation of the Son of God. In the holy, perfect life of the Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law, living a holy, perfect life, bringing in everlasting righteousness, in the sufferings, the agonies and the sorrows of our Lord Jesus Christ in the garden upon the cross of Calvary. What a mystery, isn't it? We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, for thou hast taken thee thy great power. This is how he has reigned. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is how he's reigned. He fulfilled the holy law of God for his people. I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And that's exactly what he has done. And then he laid down that holy, sinless life. He offered it. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever all them that are sanctified. That precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, for thou hast taken to thee thy great power. And here it is. This is the glory of his power in the salvation of his church and his people. He entered into death. Why? To swallow up death in victory. I have power. Oh, to me that is such a wonderful word. I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it again. It's the mighty King of heaven that is speaking. I have power to do this. It's exactly what he did. He died unto sin once. He died to rise again. He died to swallow up death in victory. But having swallowed up death in victory, having confirmed his disciples, he then leads them out as far as unto Bethany. He lifts up his hands and blesses them. He tells them that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And he speaks to his servants, says, go ye therefore into all the world, preaching the gospel unto every creature. Why? Because I have all power in heaven and in earth. Go forth and preach the everlasting gospel in every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe, and every people. You see, there's another beautiful revelation of Jesus Christ, and we're to ever remember the book of the Revelation. It's exactly that, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And think of that revelation of Jesus Christ that we have in chapter 6 of the Revelation. We have a man sitting upon a white horse. Who is it? None other than Jesus Christ. And he's going forth in the gospel of his grace. And what does it say? And he shall go forth conquering and to conquer. That's exactly what he does in the hearts, in the lives, in the circumstances of his people, in his church upon earth. He conquers. And all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, for thou hast taken to thee thy great power and thou hast reigned. And this people here, if we look at verse 6 in this Psalm 24, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Who is it? It's the Lord's people. It's the whole congregation of the church of God. What are they seeking souls? They seek. This is the mark and evidence of being a child of God. Seeking unto Jesus Christ. Seeking salvation. Seeking redemption. Seeking to know him. Seeking to follow him. It's the very nature of real religion. They're seeking souls. If you look at the latter part of the Psalm 22, just before this one here, and it says in the 30th verse, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. a seed shall serve. In every generation, there will be a seed that serves the Lord Christ. The only reason that this world remains is because there is yet precious souls to be gathered into the covenant. The Holy Spirit is yet to quicken precious souls. The Lord's servants are yet to be sent forth. The gospel is yet to be preached. And when that last vessel of mercy has been gathered in and brought to Jesus Christ, then the archangel's trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and this world shall depart on fire. It will. All these things shall be dissolved. This is what we have set forth in Holy Scripture. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah, lift up your heads. You know, here is a prophecy of Jesus entering heaven. Lift up your heads. We need to look at this. Why were these gates shut? Why were these gates shut? Because of Adam's sin. That's why. Shut the very gates of heaven. Dead. Flaming fiery sword was placed there to keep the way of life. Sin has shut the gates of heaven. The sin of man, the crowning glory of creation, man, sin. Against God, apostatized from Almighty God. Believe Satan rather than believe Almighty God. God said, the day that thou eatest thereof, of the tree of good and of evil and the fruit of it, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the devil comes in and he says, thou shalt not surely die. And she believed the devil rather than God. Unbelief, you see. One of the crying sins of the fall, unbelief. She rather believed Satan than believe Almighty God of heaven. So man fell into sin and apostatized from his Maker. But lo, the second Adam comes. Who is it? The Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, manifest in the flesh. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to save his people from their sins. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Oh, my beloved friends, have you tasted and handled and felt of this precious mercy that is in Jesus Christ? Of this salvation that is in Jesus Christ? It won't do you any good just to know about it. You need to experience it in your very soul. You can know your Bible from cover to cover. You can know the doctrines of grace inside out. You can be well acquainted with the articles of faith. But what do you know of it in your heart? Has the Holy Ghost quickened your soul? Have you been brought to feel yourself as a poor lost sinner, a poor ruined sinner? Has that same blessed Spirit wrought faith in your heart and revealed to you yon lovely man, even Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now we need to know these things in the sweet experience of our souls. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come. And who is this King of glory? Why, none other than our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Just think of these beautiful words in the Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He sitteth. The apostle returns to this theme right through the Hebrews. Jesus is sitting. The holy God-man is sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. This glorious King. You know, just think of this lifting up your heads, O ye gates. Just consider here in the 10th chapter of the Hebrews. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Lift up your heads, those everlasting gates that were closed when Adam fell. And lo, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, as he ascends bodily into heaven, and those everlasting gates lift up their heads and the doors open and the King of glory enters in. Who is this King of glory? He sitteth King forever. He does. He sitteth King forever. You know, the Apostle Paul in the first chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians, he has desires for the church of God. And you just listen to the desires that he has for the church of God. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of who? Of Jesus Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. My dear beloved friends, these things are written. We live in a wilderness. We're in a wilderness journey. We live in a wicked, sinful world. And it's a wilderness to the living child of God. But we're pointed to this place where all grace is found. And he giveth more grace. That's been a good word to me. How we all the time feel to need more grace. And he giveth more grace. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. The very foundation of wisdom is Jesus Christ and him crucified, the glorious, risen and exalted Saviour, who has all power. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. One of the meanings of the word Selah is meditate on these things. Think on these things. May the Lord add his blessing.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £635, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Friday evening, and there will be a reading service next Lord's Day in the morning, and Mr. Charles Warboys is expected to preach in the evening. And the collection next Lord's Day is for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Let us close with hymn 721. To him that loved us ere we lay, concealed within the passive clay, to him that loved us though we fell, and saved us from the pains of hell, to him that sits upon the throne, the great eternal three in one, to him let saints and angels raise an everlasting song of praise. 721.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.